VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. Of course, today with me is the producer and director of VFN TV, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hello, and John Paul Ramos.
Hello.
What's happening, man?
Hey, man, I'm excited. February is coming.
Is it not?
Fantastic things are on the rise. I mean, a new day is dawning.
A new day's dawning. And we have a huge surprise unveiling and VFN TV in February.
Yes.
Getting close. It's getting right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And it's a God surprise. It's something that God is doing. And truly, this is a network that God is building.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of our obedience and just through your sponsorship and your partnership. And don't forget, we have available now for all of our partners a big gratitude area of the green room and specials and teachings. And just to say thank you.
Yeah.
And just very, very helpful things. And it's all of us are doing this together, and it's so beautiful. I had the opportunity to speak to some leaders in the Gulf Coast area as God is beginning to unfold his heart towards all of his church coming together in unity. He tells us to go out and to reach all the nations, mm-hmm. and to minister to all the nations, and those that believe, they're in your family. And the word nation comes from where we get the word ethnos or ethnic group, which in other words, people that are different races than you. And so we need to get God's revelation about race, especially, you know, in the South, you know, but all over the nation, all over the world, because, you know, God has a plan for all of us. And the one unique thing about Azusa Street with,
William Seymour
is it was all diverse with gender, diverse with race, at a very difficult time, 1906, yeah. For anybody that was different than the dominant race that was in gender.
Multi-generational too.
Man. Yeah. Multi-generational young teenagers were the biggest workers in that. And today a lot of the church is benefiting from, you know, all of, that move. And so if we want that pleased God, what that means is this. When William Seymour did what God said, and he was hungry and crying out for God, and we have a whole bunch of segments on Azusa Street. It's called Azusa Street Revival because it happened on Azusa Street, that it pleased God. And he's like, this has to be this way. What way? All the nations coming together.
Mm.
All the genders, all the generational gaps, all of us just come together. And God has shown us this. We have some segments we talked about of some prophetic dreams that God has shown us about him pouring out his glory. And we're trying to get to that particular point. I mean, think about it too. I mean, God sent all the way from Nigeria, Africa. He sent, you know, Apostle Isaiah, yes. Who doesn't have an American grid for what happened here, but yet he sees himself as fruit from Azusa Street because they sent missionaries out there. And he came and he confirmed exactly what we've been saying and what God's been telling us about Azusa Street. But you can't just say, I want Azusa Street. We have to be Azusa Street. We have to have that kind of unity. And so we've been praying and just specific things have been taking place. And I got a chance to talk with some leaders and pastors in the Gulf Coast of different races. And we're all talking right now about writing a prayer together.
Mm.
You know, because we have a prayer community that we pray, and a lot of churches have a prayer community that they pray. And a prayer community means this, that you know you cannot do it outside of God.
Mm.
And so we are going to get together and, you know, and everybody's going to touch it. Everybody's going to have input, and we're going to write as our Father's watching us. He's watching all of his sons and daughters come together. All the nations come together to say, you know, what is your will, God? What is your will for us as your sons and daughters? And of course, his will is that he says, a new commandment I give you, love each other. By this, they'll know you're my disciples. And it's that love they'll also know, he says about it in John 17:23. He says, and the world will know that they're loved by God. So what happened when William Seymour did what God wanted with that kind of unity, God said, I'm so pleased. He poured his spirit out in such a way that there was like three or four services a day. There's no texting. There's no television. Oh, no. None of that stuff's invented yet.
And no
internet. The whole world's being touched because it was very pleasing to God, because God loves every human being on the face of the earth. He's in love with, he created the nations. He created the different ethnic groups. And so not to love what God created is not to love God and who he created. As a matter of fact, he says, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, he says, you know, you're believing a lie that you That's love right. me, because how can you not love your brother that you can see, and you don't even love anything about, you don't even know. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. But so I'm so excited about this, because that's our heart. And just pray for us, you know, that I believe this glory zone that's going to impact the nation, it's going to impact the earth. In this glory zone, that you're going to begin to see, because some of the mindsets are, people say, you know, well, the people are ready for this, but the leaders aren't ready for this. But you got to say this too. Then, since you're a leader and you're saying that, does that mean that you're not ready for it?
Right.
And all of a sudden you know more than other leaders? Or maybe God's going, no, I want to begin to speak to the leaders first. I established these leaders. I established them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go around what I established. I'm going to work through the leadership that I've established over my church, and which is a whole new concept. Because, you know, the children always want to get together and do different things.
That's
it's
right.
like, does your daddy know that you want to do this kind of stuff? Well, he don't know anything about this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, if he's the one that establishes the fivefold, he establishes the ministers, pastors, and all. Mm-hmm. And so what we saw from our own personal experience, we saw again and again, God move through leadership. God began to move, because it's going to have to have leadership to survive it.
No doubt.
And if you haven't heard yet, you got to go back and watch and listen to the Lighthouse Prophecy segment. I'm telling you, 700 ministers working together
in the Lord's cabinet.
Like the White House has a cabinet and all that, has a cabinet, and God's able to minister to hundreds of thousands at the very same time.
I believe it's 250,000 people.
Yeah, 250 at the very same time. And so that takes the kind of unity that we're beginning to see of leaders who God has honed and trained, and there's so much wisdom.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about, you know, getting with a lot of different, you know, pastors, but, you know, leaders. And one of them is, you know, Joshua, Pastor Joshua.
One offer.
And it's his perspective is so, you know, just
encouraging.
Right. Encouraging. Yeah, right. And I think that he can bring healthy perspective. And what happens is, and when we, that's what VFN TV is. VFN TV and the daily radio programs for all of us, this is the media for the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and God's going to use it forever how he wants to use it. And we have kingdom impact. And the church needs to arise in the nation if we want to have a nation.
That's right.
And when God's people are blessed and there's godly leadership, the whole nation's blessed. But when evil leadership's in place, people grind their teeth and are just groan for what's going on. So if you want to have a blessed nation, it's about mm-hmm. people who love God and love you and want to see you prosper. And so we're so excited about these things taking place. But think about this. You know, pray for those in authority over you. Pray for leadership. That's one thing that Pastor, you know, Joshua's going to be talking about. Is he's going to take it to a whole other stream. I'm going to let him do it. But this, you know, are you even praying for your pastor? Are you even praying for your pastor? Are you even praying for the ones that God's put over you? Or are you just criticizing them?
You know, we talked about that during the passing of Dr. Miles Monroe, and what a huge void that was left, you know, in the body of Christ with his passing here in 2014. And it just underscored exactly what you're saying, the importance of praying for godly leadership, men and women that are standing on the front lines, those that are sacrificing themselves and are standing literally between, you know, the attacks of hell for the body. And if we're not lifting up our pastors, if we're not lifting up the leaders in church, I mean, what are we doing? We need to hold up their arms and protect them and pray for them and encourage them, because those are the ones that are feeding us spiritually. Those are the ones that are encouraging us. Those are the ones that are standing with us and our families. And now more than ever,
right.
strike the shepherd. I wonder what happens to the sheep.
They
need
scatter.
To stand. Yeah, they scatter. We need to stand with the shepherds.
Right. And so what is the response to some of the things? I want you to see this before we go to break. This is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's going to be, I believe, on January the 14th, I believe, or 24th. And this is the response to what's going on. These are young people responding. It's called the Response USA, and Governor Jindal is going to be there as well. It's really? In Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Bobby Jindal.
Watch this.
Economic collapse, injustice, violence,
perversion, division, abuse,
natural disaster, terrorism,
depression, addiction, fear.
Why is this happening now?
Why is this happening to us?
To me?
To them?
To this nation?
Who is responsible?
What can we do?
I just want my children to be happy.
For my parents to stop fighting.
To get a job when I graduate.
To be able to pay my bills.
For my daddy to love me.
There is a crisis in America, and not just one.
It feels like America's knees are buckling.
Maybe that's the point.
We cannot keep going like this.
Someone has to do something. There has to be a response.
I know I have to respond.
We must make a response.
Not so politicians hear us. Not so that others listen to us.
We will lift up our cry to Jesus.
Our cry for justice.
For restoration.
For forgiveness.
Mercy.
This is our hope.
This is our response.
Our government leaders have called this nation.
This generation.
Me. Us.
To rise up and make a sound that will be heard in heaven.
To make a response to America's crisis.
We will respond with prayer and fasting.
We will respond with humility and repentance.
We will respond with worship and praise.
We will gather.
We will join a movement.
And we will make our response.
I will make my response.
I will make my response.
This is happening.
Where will you be?
What will be your response?
This is January the 24th. January the 24th in Baton Rouge. You've got to be a part of that. January 24th. This is a time, listen, the young people are seeing what's going on. They've tried everything. They've done everything. They realize, listen, God, we need God. And you know what? God is going to respond. We got so much to talk about. We get back from the break. We're going to talk about a prophecy about the best of times, worst of times. It's coming out of Nashville. We're also going to talk about how just recently it was said by a particular people that you will not find this generation in church. If you want to be able to reach them, you got to meet them somewhere else. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you've ever felt there's more month than money and that your paycheck just doesn't cover the bills, it may be time to make a budget. This is John Fuller, and financial expert Dave Ramsey shares some practical ways you can do that on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Every dollar has a mission. Every month before the month begins, on paper, on purpose, and you agree on it with your spouse. But zero-based means your income is at the top minus all of these missions, assignments for every dollar. Every dollar has a name until you get to the bottom and it's exactly zero, which means you have to kind of work on it a little bit to get it to zero out. But you can't have any money that's just kind of laying there because that money will disappear. You have to tell every dollar what to do or you will wonder where it went.
Well, making a budget requires some effort, and staying on budget can be hard, but do it today. You can find out how at focusonthefamily.com/finances.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. We are going to be talking in a moment about a prophecy out of Nashville. We had one earlier in our programs early. Got to catch it. First, I want to remind you, February, look for the surprise. We would have some hammers and saws here. Excuse the noise that you're probably hearing in the background, but we got a great surprise that's being unveiled in February, and we're very excited about it. If you have not yet, we had Kamal Saleem on VFN TV, and you can watch his entire interview on at VFNTV.com. But just a great guy. He's just a beautiful guy. But when you understand his story, and I was reading, and this is a fact fiction book that he and General Boykin put together, retired General Boykin put together. It's called The Coalition. And so what you have is, and this is a great way to tell a story nowadays, is to take, you know, all the facts that you have and, you know, paint in the fiction to help you carry this facts to their fruition type thing. And so I read this book, and you gotta read this book. I'm reading, you know, and so it talks about these characters, and obviously these characters you're reading about is their fiction name, but it's a story about Kamal Saleem, who was a jihadist that now is a Christian, but it talks from the time that he was a child and, you know, coming up. And then it has another particular guy, you know, Omar is the character for Saleem and Kamal. And you have Blake is the character for, you know, General Boykin. Mm-hmm. So you're hearing, you know, these two young boys raised up and how they converge. Listen, the final battle plan, when you listen to the generals that fought the war in Afghanistan, they said, you know, we migrated through thought patterns till we finally had to ask the question. This is what we fought. The final conclusion was, we need to first understand what these folks are fighting for. I mean, they never crossed their mind to understand the culture, understand what's
the
going
ideology,
on.
What's behind all this.
You know, and part of healing me is understanding me.
That's right.
And so if you want to understand, and you think about it, you have this general coming from a child, and you have this young Arab, young Lebanese man coming up, and this one is not in the military yet, and this one's not a jihadist yet, but you watch how they come together and how they collide. I mean, they're like mortal enemies, because as a jihadist, they're like, you know, kill the Americans. Kill the Americans, you know, they call, quote, the great Satan and that type of thing. And then you have, you know, the general of America going, save America and protect them from the radical jihadists. And then it talks about, and I don't want to give the book away, but you got to get it. Wow. I mean, it's because we're hearing all these prophetic words, and, you know, we're seeing what's going on, but God's got people in his family that are so wise, and they've been trained up. And of course, Kamal Saleem is one of them. General Boykin's one of them. You know, Rick Joyner, and a lot of people that are just intelligent and have know-how. But it takes you 5 years into the future.
Wow.
And, you know, works your way to that. And where we're going to have to, this is just fiction, but it kind of makes sense for some of the prophecies that we've been hearing, is that the Western way of life is going to have to be stood up for, or it's going to be gone.
Wow.
The Western way of life and the whole world, or at least people in the whole world, based on this story, are standing up and they're saying, you know, if America goes dark, the world is going to be in utter darkness. Because I think about, you know, when you think about, we had Apostle Isaiah on Kader when he was talking about, you know, America needs to stand, or the South African pastor that was talking about, you know, we need America to stand. If America goes out for all the good and the things, America, it's going to be really, really bad. And so it's not just about America. It's about this attack on God and on the kingdom. I mean, Paul talks about it, and David talked about it. And in Acts, when the church was birthed, they talked about it. They said, you know, why do kings make war against God? Why do people plot and plan? Why did Herod meet to make a war against God? And it's never stopped. You know, people who are going after their kingdoms, that's what they do. But this, I mean, when you want to begin to put the prophetic story together, it's called The Coalition, a novel by retired General Jerry Boykin and Kamal Saleem. And you can see the book here. Maybe they'll have an image of it up right there. And it is a fiction, but there's facts in here as well. And it tells the story. And one thing I think about, I mean, when I first was reading about Kamal, and of course Omar is his character, I just had to stop. I just had to stop. Because, listen, if you're living in America, period, I don't care who you are, where you are, if you're living in America, we don't know the life that Omar went through, that Kamal went through. I mean, the pain and the twistedness and the rejection and the false twisted, you know, Islamic radical jihadists. You know, this is what they're teaching. Just so you want to know, when you see a woman stand up and support, you know, Islam and jihad, his mother was teaching him that that the teachings of Islam, that women have half the size of a brain as a man.
Oh, wow.
That they're only here to serve men, period. And they're expendable. They're only half a man. That's what it said. They're only half a man.
Wow.
But yeah, his mother was teaching him these things. Everything came good. His mother was teaching him these things. And he's like, all of a sudden he's thinking, Ma, what about you?
Right.
You know, if dad gets 72 virgins, you know, as he tells his dad, what about Ma? Does Ma get 72 virgin men? You know, and all of a sudden he thinks that was, and it's like, what is going on? The women are being oppressed in that. And when you see a leader, a female leader in America, stand up and support radical Islam and use it as a tool against a nation, that is the oppression of women. It's a terrible thing. And anyway, you find out about that. So I just had to pause and stopped and just had to think, you know, I just had to soak on that because I didn't want to let that go. I wanted to know. And, you know, I think personally, you know, some of you that have walked these walks, I'm thinking like, you know, I don't know if I'm even worthy to be in your presence. You know what I'm saying? And they hear most Americans complain about anchovies on their pizza. Yeah, they're having to work an extra hour, or they can't. The air conditioner's not working. It's pathetic. And I just thank God for Christian men like, you know, Kamal Saleem, and for General Boykin and what they're going. You've got to get this book. I'm telling you, we'll talk more about it. As a matter of fact, this is them being interviewed right here on The Blaze. You've got to see this and talk about the book.
Jerry Boykin and Kamal Saleem to discuss the rise of militant Islam and what happens when the government fails to protect its citizens. General Boykin and Kamal Saleem, join me now. Guys, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Kamal, I'll start with you. Take me through your story, because it's an amazing story, and it leads to an incredible novel that you guys have put together.
I was indoctrinated at home by my mom, recruited at the mosque, neighborhood mosque, in Lebanon, by the Muslim Brotherhood. Joined at 7 years old, the rank of the PLO. And from there, I went to civilization, jihad, throughout the history, you know, my history for 20 years. And then I was sent to America when the Saudis sent me to the United States of America for still jihad to infiltrate the United States of America.
Wow. And I mean, it's an amazing story and certainly sets an amazing foundation for this novel. General, how did you guys come up with an idea to present this information this way? Because you're really taking real things that are happening in the world and presenting it in a way that people can digest easily.
Yeah, it's important to remember, Stu, that Kamal and I were on opposite sides. Kamal and I were enemies. We would have killed each other had we had a chance for about a 20-year period there. But we both wrote an autobiography. We had the same literary agent who one day decided that this would make a very good novel if the two of us would now come together and try to explain in a realistic way the dangers of radical Islam, and that's what we've done.
And we've seen the rise, obviously, of ISIS most recently, but groups all across the world trying to implement this sort of ideology. And, you know, you saw it firsthand. When people in America who, you know, man, they see these videos on the news, people training on, you know, in the desert, but they don't understand the real impact and the brainwashing that goes on at a really young age. How do you explain that to them?
Well, the thing is, the radical Islam today in our world here in the United States of America, we have several million Muslims, and even it's happening here in our neighborhood, where the mosque taking moderate Muslim and radicalize them and turn them to be military, even to the point that some of them are joining ISIS in the fight, leaving the United States to join. And this is not a fight that, you know, all of a sudden happened because America was mean to the Muslim or because of our policies. This is, we've been taught about this from our infancy, is to establish Islamic civilization, one nation under Allah, the God of Islam. Mm.
So, General, what do you do about ISIS? You have this situation where I think the president is doing, he's trying to do something. He says he's going over, he's, you know, he's doing some targeted bombings, he's doing something. There's I think, a rising, to some degree, libertarian strain that's saying, hands off, this never works out well for us. And then there's the other position of, we need to go in even harder. At this point, what do you actually do with these guys?
When the president unveiled his strategy, in the second sentence he said, ISIS is not Islam. That would tell you that this is not a serious strategy. So what we are doing is not based on any reality check. What do? First of all, we arm the Kurds. They are our friends, mm-hmm. and they will fight. Arm them directly. Secondly, we put a robust intelligence program in there to support them. Thirdly, we put boots on the ground. I said boots on the ground. We put in special operations people. I'm not talking about infantry divisions. Put them on the ground there and let them help with the Kurds, train, equip, cadre the Kurds, identify targets, laze those targets. And then finally, we meet the needs of the refugees, which are the Yazidis as well as the Christians that are being brutalized in there, and we start to turn the tide that way.
Because you point out that we're not even admitting what the problem is, essentially.
Right.
We won't even focus that radicalized Islam is the center of this. And I feel like we are, you know, a country that spends a lot of time in a self-induced sort of haze. The torture report that came out yesterday identifies 13 enhanced interrogation techniques, which a lot of people are just saying is torture. And I look through these, and I don't, maybe I'm the meanest person in the world, I don't know, maybe I'm awful. But things like attention grasp, the interrogator grabs the detainee by the collar with two hands and pulls him closer in. That's torture now? I mean, wouldn't the people who trained you, Kumar, laugh at that? Laugh at that as a torture technique. That's the least of what they would do.
We were taught from when I was 7 years old how to commit suicide mission and how to kill other people, either kill or be killed, mm-hmm. how to really kill somebody in 5 minutes, you know, just like. And so we were trained to take heads off. I mean, we saw what happened in Oklahoma City more. Yeah. This man, when he sat on this woman's chest, she's over 50, when she did not convert, he took her head off. You know, these are the kind of things that we need to look at our enemy. And this is only in the United States. Overseas, they will not mess around with you. They will take you out in a heartbeat.
Yeah. General, I mean, look, this list. I mean, having people stand, they don't get to sleep as long as they want to. Nudity. Is this torture? Are these the things that we should be punishing ourselves over?
Stu, let me say that I think that this report came from a bunch of sanctimonious hypocrites.
All right.
This is not torture. I'll tell you what's torture. Torture is what we've done to the veterans at the VA hospitals. Mm-hmm. Torture is what we've done by having the IRS go after conservative groups. You want to talk about torture? The students that go through the survival school in the Army, Navy, and Air Force go through far worse things than what's mentioned in this report. This is not torture, but how many lives were saved and how many people were brought into Guantanamo or into custody as a result of the information that came out of these techniques. This is not torture. I respect John McCain deeply because of the price he paid, but I disagree with him. This is not torture.
Kamal Saleem and General Jerry Boykin, the book is called The Coalition. You want a great thriller that's going to, you know, paint the picture of things that are really going on in the world. This is a great thing to pick up, and you can get it at bookstores everywhere.
Amazon, any bookstore anywhere, or you can go to our websites, Coombe Ministries, KOOME, or Kingdom Warriors Ministry.
I'm telling you, this book, just like you're seeing them talk about, it's going to enlighten you. It carries you. It reads like a very interesting novel. But the sad thing about it is, there's so much truth in here. You can't help but think, oh my goodness. More when we get back from the break, including we're going to be talking about that prophecy coming out of Nashville.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can, while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. So obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order, and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. The Coalition, a novel by retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and Kamal Saleem. You've got to get it. In this, you know, of course, it is a fiction, but it's fact. It's a faction book, one of those this great book. And when you're reading them, it just carries you, you know, the same way some just exciting novel would. But the thing that starts hitting you all of a sudden going, this is real. And so you have to stop. I mean, it's not all real. I mean, it's 5 years in the future again, and it starts and then carries you 5 years in the future. But the concept that they begin to talk about begins to help you build a vision for, you know, wow, you know, this can happen, and we cannot lose the Western way of life. It can be sustained, which would be very impacting. But they talk about in here too, the Coalition, a novel, is, and you can find out more details on The Torch about it, is that it's after the current administration, because you're 5 years down the road, but they're still trying to recover from the things that took place during these 8 years. Because in the book they're talking about, the president during that time in this fiction book, in this novel, that he thought that Islam was a friend and that you can partner with Islam, and that fueled this whole worldwide caliphate crazy thing that was going on in this book, The Coalition. You got to get it. Just a powerful read, and it's a good way to understand all this prophecy that's taking place. Because speaking of that, this prophetic word out of Nashville talks about these things, right?
Actually, this is not out of Nashville, but this is actually being first reported by Bert Farias, and Dr. Mark Barclay had a vision about 25 years ago. Vision, trance, he doesn't, not really sure. He thought it was a vision, but others around him said he fell into trance. And he saw a lot of what we've been seeing, that there's going to be a period in time that's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times, all happening kind of simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Well, he talks about that he was at a Kenneth Hagin meeting back in 1987, and he had been the speaker the previous night, and he had, you know, stayed the next night to listen to Dr. Hagin. And as Dr. Hagin began to pray in the spirit, all of a sudden he fell into this trance, this vision, and this is what he saw. He said, all of a sudden I felt evil, as if it was surrounding me. Anger rose up in me, and fear tried to grip on me. Suddenly, something caught my attention out of the left of my eye, and I turned hard to see and what it was, and it was the circumference of the earth, and from one edge to the other, this was this horrible, black, dark cloud was rising up from the horizon, and somehow I knew it would eventually fill the entire earth. An alarm went off in me, screaming me to run away from it as fast as I could. I felt like I should scream at it to stop it in its track by using the name of Jesus. I began to rebuke it and started to say, in the name of Jesus. I didn't quite get it out, and the Lord said, that will do you no good. What? I said. The Lord said, son, you cannot use my name to stop what I prophesied. I'm not causing this dark cloud, but I did prophesy it would happen in the last days. In this dark cloud, he said, what is this? It's an evil, it's a tempestuous cloud. And he references Isaiah 61 through 2. But about this cloud, every evil thing you can imagine was in this cloud. It was every demon, it was every disease and sickness, bacterial attacks, even things that hadn't been discovered. It would cause humans to do things that weren't even humane. It was filled with insanity, and many people will lose their minds and their faculties. It was murder, terror, rape, abuse, terrorism, torture. And he said it was so much worse. It was filled with deceptions and heresies and perversions and filth. And some things the Lord showed me I have not had permission to speak about. He said, I also saw people, many people, some were running into the dark cloud. Some were being sucked into it, and he relates this to a shop vac that he owned that was so powerful that if you weren't careful, it would even suck up his tools. He said the suction from this cloud was so powerful that it was sucking people right into this darkness. I saw many people screaming with terror and actually being dragged into this cloud. Though they were refusing it and resisting it with all their strength, they still did not possess the power to stop it. He said, I was so disturbed when I saw a cross on someone's pocket or jewelry. I remember saying to the Lord, who are those people being drawn into this filth and terror wearing the Christian symbol of the cross? Who are these people? And they're not even resisting. And who are these people who are resisting with all their might but does not do them no good? They just keep disappearing into this horrible, evil cloud of gross darkness. The Lord answered me. He said, oh, these are those who do not have clean hands and a pure heart. They have been warned, but ignored the warnings. Some even wanted this filth as their lifestyle. I asked, well, who are these wearing the cross? Oh, the Lord said, these are the people who claim me as Savior. Many of them have desired this filth and even fought for it. They make excuses but are not excused. The ones who are resisting, though, they're resisting my prophets, and they thought they were exaggerating, that they were from the old school, and they denied the warnings. Now that this evil has come, they possess little to no power, and certainly not enough to resist and overcome this horrible onslaught of the enemy's power. Only those with clean hands and a pure heart will be able to totally resist this. It will cover the earth. And then he says he kind of came to and continued to hear Brother Hagin, who was still praying in the spirit, and then he kind of went back into another vision. And then this is what he saw as he went into his other vision. Brother Hagin's voice became softer and softer, and he saw this. Suddenly, a piercing light hit the corner of my right eye. It was so bright that I instantly shrouded my head with my hands and arms. It reminded me of this intense light that he saw when he went to the doctor's office. And everything within me said, turn and look into it. Turn now and run into it. Yet there was this hesitation because it was so bright it seemed to shine through me. Finally, I gave a look into it. And with both eyes, I saw the depth of this bright cloud. Just like the dark cloud I had seen before, it was coming up over the horizon of the earth. And I could tell that it was going to cover the planet. I just knew that nothing could stop it. I remember, he says, I looked into it with both eyes and realized nothing could stop it. And I remember asking the Lord, what is this? What is this massive earth-consuming bright light? The Lord answered me and said, oh, this is my glory. This is the glory cloud that I showed my prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61, 1 through 2. This is what I promised, that my glory will fill the whole earth. Well, I asked, what was inside the cloud? It is filled with the greatest miracles humans have ever seen. It is filled with healing for every disease and cure for every sickness. It is the power to overcome sin and filth and to receive the truth and reject error, heresy, and doctrines of demons. It is the manifestation of my spirit. It is the full anointing of Jesus Christ and much more. And he showed me other things that I had no permission to speak of. He saw people in this vision just like before the cloud of darkness, and many people were running into it and almost frolicking in it. It was like my first response, too bright to behold, and then I wanted to run into it. And there, those who seemed to want to pull away from this glory cloud couldn't. Lord, who will enter this great glory of God and enjoy the awesome power, I asked. And this is what the Lord told them. Those who have a pure heart and clean hands, the Lord answered. They are the ones who will escape the horrible vacuum of evil, the dark cloud, and be consumed with my glory. I will require you to tell these things to my people at an appointed time. We will continue to, you know, give this to you in its entirety.
We want to talk too about, you know, clean hands and a pure heart.
Absolutely. Hands and a pure heart.
What does that mean? Go wash your hands.
Yeah.
You know, quit eating cholesterol. We'll talk more about that in this prophecy when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
As we said, you know, Al Gore just invented the internet, according to him. And this is before we had multiple internets, when George W. said we have internets, you know, which is a minor. I mean, how many, think about that. How many times have we, you know, we make humorous clips of these tournaments.
Chaos wrestling.
Yes. And I tried practice the other day.
Did you?
Wrestling. My chin's got to go out to say it right. And so
it's called denunciation. Oh, that wasn't funny?
That's a what?
Tournament about this? You know, tournament so who can spell that? The, this is like the telephone. Hey, I'm going to talk to you, motherfucker. Can you move the phone somewhere around the vicinity of your mouth?
Of your mouth?
Hey, I want to talk to you.
John. Hey, can you leave me alone? Okay. Right. All right, okay. Let me adjust it now. Wrestling. What else you want to talk about? Statistics? Lightly? Let me get the mic ready here. Oh, what do you want to talk about?
You're tearing up the set, bro. Okay. Hold on. Chill out.
All right. So.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're looking at this word. Your mic's right way, right?
Yeah.
Look at this word.
Are you sure?
We're looking at this word, sure. You know, that in your scripture says, you know, who will ascend the holy mountain? Who will come before God? In the scripture, he tells us that he that has clean hands and a pure heart. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the vision. It's the fact is.
That's right.
But what does having clean hands and a pure heart mean? That's so important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people go, well, I go to church.
Mm.
you know, and I have a Bible. I don't read it, but I have one on my phone. I carry one on my a digital phone, you know, just in case I want to look up what that billboard actually means on my Bible. And because George Barna says that, 81% of church Christians in America don't even have a Bible.
Don't pick up a Bible. Read the Bible.
They have it, but they don't pick it up. And so that would be a sign of dirty hands, because it's in the reading the Word of God that cleanses us. He says, wash them. Jesus said, wash them by the sanctifying of the washing of the Word. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in the Word of God, if you want to have a pure heart, you're not going to have a pure heart from somebody else reading your Bible. You're going to have it from you abiding with God. And it's over a period of time, you know, that the more you abide, and we have a simple plan for you to abide. And this is truly the way to begin to get pure hands and a clean heart, because God will reveal himself to you and begin to show you. It's at iabide.org. We have a free, simple plan for you. I'm telling you, this is so important, because you could not stop based on this prophecy. And the truth is, you could just watch it. People cannot hold back from darkness that's sucking them in. There's a lot of people right now being sucked in by just this false thing going out. But there's nothing for them to hang on, because they didn't know about clean hands and a pure heart. Mm-hmm. And but then you're seeing the good happening too, the best of times and the worst of times. And it's like, who are these folks? It's people that abide with the Lord.
That's right.
You know, abiding with God. We got, you know, five simple things you can do just quickly. It doesn't take much time at all. But you begin to just think, you know, this, you want to spend your life abiding with him. But as you spend time in his word, studying his word and just thinking about it, not reading 10,000 verses, but just meditating on it and asking God, what does this mean? And what are you saying to me? Now, there's only one interpretation of the Bible, but there's different applications. So he's not going to tell you something different than what it says. Mm-hmm. But the application at that time in your life, God could be telling you something. And so, that will purify your heart. That's how you'll have a pure heart, by the word of God, the washing of the word of God. He calls it like water, the water of his word. And then in regards to a clean hands, he tells you, you know, if your eye offends you, gouge it out. If your hand offends you, cut it out. If your foot offends you, you know, cut it off. And obviously, and some people take that literally if you haven't been in the Middle East lately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, cutting things out of your life. What are you touching that God says don't touch? What are you seeing that you shouldn't see? Where are your feet carrying you that you shouldn't go? And that means that your flesh, your body, you're submitting your body to God. You're not saying, you're not perfect. I mean, you know, the big thing is that the sin that has happened in your life, you're confessing it before God. You don't have unconfessed sin. You're not in habitual sin. You know, you're just, you know, you're staying clean before God. You know, you're just laying it out there. And abiding is what will empower you to do that. And if you want to be prepared, you want to be prepared, because when you start abiding with God, you're preparing yourself on this journey. As a matter of fact, we're going to go right now to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. He's talking about, you know, maturing in the Lord. When you begin to abide, you begin to mature. You come from just the basic, I believe, to a place of a discipleship, to becoming a bondservant of God and a friend of God. As a matter of fact, listen to this. Watch.
And Jesus gave a very clear definition of what discipleship was. In my opinion, and we're going to go through those scriptures, not today, but in due time, we're going to go through them. I think we'd have to admit very few Christians are really disciples. And that was what the Great Commission was. It wasn't to make converts. It was to make disciples. We were born again. That's just the beginning. When a baby's born, they're just beginning life. That's just where we start from. That's not the goal. It is the beginning. But after becoming disciples, I believe there's another level of maturity, which is to become a bondservant. I think there are even fewer that would qualify there. A true bondservant does not live for themselves. They don't own anything. Everything they have, they're a steward of. And they don't consider anything their own, even their own time. They don't wake up every day thinking, oh, what do I want to do today? They wake up, Master, what would you have me to do today? It's a whole different level, biblical level maturity. And after that is becoming a friend. Where the Lord said to his disciples, you know, I no longer call you servants, but friends. There was a point where they graduate to a whole new level of relationship to him. But they were still his servants too. You don't quit being a servant. You don't quit being a disciple. You just grow into another level. And then, of course, the ultimate is sonship, where we really become members of his family. And those are the ones who can really write ultimate checks on his account, make declarations. These are the ones who are going to say to a mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and it will obey them. Okay, that's coming. We know that from the scriptures. And the whole creation is groaning, travailing, waiting for this to happen. But we want to grow up into Christ. Our goal as Christians is to be like him and do the works that he did.
You think about that. That's how many people say, you know, I'm a believer. And you look at this vision that you know, John was talking about, that those are the folks that just don't understand. That's not, demons believe and they tremble.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
If you believe the chair will hold you, you sit in it. If you believe that he is God, you serve him. You give your life to him. And you think, so you go from immediately as a believer to a disciple. And Jesus, this is what Jesus said, just so you know it. He surpasses any man or woman that told you anything. He says, if you want to be my disciple, that you're going to have to measure the cost. It's going to cost you everything. I mean, think through this salvation. Think through, it's going to cost you everything. He said, a person that doesn't first think about the cost.
Count the cost.
Count the cost. The cost is everything. He gives you everything. He created everything. It's better in him, but you have to believe that and give up everything. And he becomes truly the Lord of your life. And when you become his disciple, this is what he said too. Jesus said, you know, if you follow my teachings, if you follow my teachings, which means you need to know them, then you're really my disciple. So a disciple is not an option. It's the next migration and process on the journey of knowing God. But it doesn't even stop there. You keep on going, as he talks about, as a bondservant. As you begin to abide with this Lord that you now know and is the Lord of your life, and you've learned his ways, now you're talking to him and he's talking to you through his word, and you're abiding with him, and he's beginning, you just want to start your day off abiding with him. And he goes, this is what I want you to do today. This is what I want you to say today. And he begins to reveal strategies and kingdom strategies, not just over, you know, this smaller area of your life, but kingdom strategies over your business and over your ministry and over government and over education. And he begins to reveal his secrets to you. And then a friend of God. When you think about that, I like the way he puts it, you know, that then you can write checks that Jesus will cash. When you think about it, those are the ones that are going to say, this mountain be moved. And I'm seeing, we've got to learn that in this, I mean, you just don't just, as a believer, you can't just move in that. You actually got to learn who do you believe in, and learn his ways, because he has his kingdom ways. And it's his kingdom, his dominion that comes. And he says, make disciples of all the nations. He never did say plant a church. He never did say all that kind of stuff. But when you actually make disciples, churches just happen. This is a journey here. So how do you have clean hands and a pure heart? You start this direction by saying, you know what? If I haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, I'm going to go to meetmyfather.org, and I'm going to find out how they did it. And I'm going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And I'm going to begin this awesome journey of discipleship and bondservant and being a friend of God. I want to be there when this great time of cloud of good things happening in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be sucked in to all this darkness and religion. I don't want to just be fooling myself. I want to know that I know that I know that I want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to be a part of his outpouring. I want to be there helping other people become believers, become disciples, become bondservants, and together with God, watch his glory poured out over all the earth. God bless. And don't forget, February, the big surprise is coming. You don't want to miss it.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.